everyone. I'm recording this podcast on behalf of Charlotte Tierney from our Manchester depot. It's really hard to admit, not only to yourself, but to others, that you're in a bad place. You carry on with life as normal, doing mundane day-to-day things. Wake up, go to work, get home, eat and sleep. The same routine 5 days in a row until Saturday comes around to remind you that you're on your own for 2 full days with the demons in your head. Your friends and family text and call to make plans with you, but you let it ring out and leave them on unread because you don't have the mental strength to put on another smile on your face or to make people feel better that you appear to be happy and okay. Now, that was me for a long time. Last year, I lost my mum, Jane. Although I didn't have the best relationship with her, it hit me a lot harder than I anticipated. My entire world got turned upside down and suddenly I had to take control and sort out Jane's affairs whilst barely even functioning myself, as I had not long split up with my partner and I was already down in the dumps. I let the grief consume me and I had intrusive thoughts. I let my mental and physical health deteriorate. I didn't clean up, I didn't eat, and had just given up on everything. I just wanted it to stop. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to deal with anyone or anything. And there was so much going on in my head, it was battered. Growing up, I'd always been a bit of a doomy, gloomy kid and locked myself away in my room with some sort of fiction book, running away to a make-believe world. And it was either like Sid from Ice Age or Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, no in between. My mum and sister were the same. That was normal to me. My earliest memory was when I was 7 years old. My mum had been going through a rough time and wasn't coping well at all. She was an alcoholic and was drunk at this time. As we know, alcohol is a depressant, and it was about 11 p.m. and I was in bed. My mum was shouting my name and I came downstairs and found her slumped on the couch with blood all over her. Bear it in mind, I was 7 years old and my first thought was that she needed a wet paper towel because that fixes everything when you're hurt. When you hurt yourself in school. For a very long story short, she was taken away and myself and my sister were left with a neighbour for a very long time. She'd been sectioned. It was the first experience with suicide and this became a regular recurrence at home. I had learnt that Jane had been diagnosed with bipolar in 1998 along with my sister. This was at the time of the first incident, which to me now makes sense of why they behaved in some of the ways they did and perhaps why I felt how I felt. After doing some research, I found out that bipolar is hereditary and it took me a while to go to my doctors to get a referral to be tested as I didn't want to be stigmatised but recognised that this was potentially why I am the way I am. And eventually I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, BPD, which is similar to bipolar. Basically, your brain is telling you you are not good enough and everything is black or white, yes or no, happy or sad. I go to regular checkups and have a counselling session every week via Zoom. And one of the biggest things we speak about is suicidal thoughts and how I'm feeling and how I'm dealing with any feelings that may arise. I now make a joke of it that I'm medically certified crank, but that's how I deal with things, by making a joke of it and laughing. When I first called at work to tell them I wasn't coming in, I found it really hard to actually say the words out loud. Jim was so really understanding and I got so many texts from people, not only my work colleagues but also my friends, with kind words. Those messages meant a lot to me and helped me in a way that I can't even explain. Then when I received some flowers from Motus, and again through This Is My Job, we all come to work to pay the bills, and it reminded me that I wasn't on my own. Motus reached out and told me that if they needed any support, they would help me access the support I needed. And little did anyone know, but at my lowest point that I ever been, it made me realise that somebody was there. After being diagnosed, I approached both Harriet and Jim and explained everything. Again, the support that I got, I know that if I can reach out, is amazing. My colleagues have turned into friends and helped me in ways that I could never have imagined, and without even knowing this. Even down to Tracy calling me the little gremlin. I know I was a nightmare for months and afterwards, but I didn't know how to cope. God knows how they put up with me, but that's what friends do. They help you when you are at your lowest. So not only do I have my friends and family outside work, I also have my friends here too. People don't realise how hard it is to rediscover the person you were before with depression, or even trying to remember your own personality. And if you have had depression since an early childhood, you don't even know if you have your own personality. You didn't have to be the person before depression, and it's scary having no idea who you actually are. Suicide is preventable. You have to be open and talk about how you're feeling, ideally with the people who care about you. And if you take the first steps to ask for help, the last step won't be suicide. It'll be watching your kids growing up and having their own kids. Going on that holiday of a lifetime. Trust me, I did that one in July. I went to Italy for a week on my own and I did everything. Pompeii, Sorrento, the Amalfi, up and down that coast. And I spent my actual birthday on a yacht. My two little dogs have been literally saved me too. I didn't want them being split up and not treated like the royalty that they are, and this kept me going. There is so much help out there if you just ask. Don't be afraid. There's always someone within the business that will lend you their ear. If it's a people's champion, your line manager, a colleague. There's also the employer assistance program, the Samaritans, your GP, many other charities you could get in touch with to talk things through. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my podcast.